Welcome to A World of Good podcast. My name is Andrew Gale, and I am at our Global Strategy Roundtable, which is where we have missions leaders from across the country. We have folks from D.C. all the way to the far north Pacific Northwest, here to have conversations about how we serve and engage globally in missions work and supporting the call that we have as Christians to love and care for our neighbor. And part of that is both the global side, but also thinking locally. And we have today on the show a friend of mine, Darren Odwapacher, who has been engaged in cross-cultural ministry for a long time in a lot of different ways. Darren, thanks so much for being with us. I really appreciate you recording this with me.
Andrew, thanks for having me. It's great.
Darren, tell us first kind of where you are and what your current role is.
Yeah, so I'm in Casper, Wyoming at Highland Park Community Church. It's a Church of God congregation. And I'm a missions pastor. Technical name is the Go Pastor.
Nice.
So I lead teams. And our goal is to really connect, mobilize people for mission, both locally in Casper, in our state, and then globally. We have a bunch of partners around the world.
That's awesome. How long have you been doing that?
Been doing that for 6 years.
Okay. Wow. Wonderful. And did you grow up? I mean, are you from the Church of God community? Are you from Casper area? Like, how did you get connected at Casper, Wyoming?
Oh my gosh. How much time do you have? I had never heard of the Church of God.
Okay.
I was born in New York, grew up mostly in an AG family, lived in Texas, Virginia. Went to school outside of Chicago, went to Wheaton, married Amy. She's from Southern California. So we moved there. Long story, but Church of God pastor wanted to start a Spanish-speaking congregation in his English-speaking church. So he called me. I had never met him before. Through some random way, he got my number. He knew I wanted to work with the Spanish-speaking community.
Okay.
Now, I'm not Latino. My dad's from India. My mom's American. But God gave me a Latino corazón.
Yeah, there
and
you go.
So I love Spanish, love the culture, language. And so he wanted to start a Spanish church, and he said, you know, would you come out and do this? And well, first I was like, what is the Church of God? I never heard of it. So I called our chaplain at Wheaton. I'm like, what is this? You know? Yeah. And he said, well, I told him I've never pastored. I was like 21 years old.
Wow.
I'm not Latino, never church planted, but we can give it a try. And he said, no, that's great. He said, you can come. But what I've got to tell you is we don't have any salary for you. So,
oh, yeah, of course.
So I was like, good, we're good.
The best ways to start. Yeah,
yeah, we're good. You've got nothing and I've got nothing. So here we go. We started the journey. I knocked on doors. We tried to do immigration classes. People thought I was like from ICE, Immigration Customs Enforcement.
Oh, my goodness.
Nothing happened for months, and we started to pray, God, if you don't do something, we have nothing. We don't know what we're doing. And my wife was an ESL teacher, English as a second language, in Southern California. She had 50 students in her class every semester from all over the world. They found out that her husband is this Indian background guy that speaks Spanish that wanted to start a Spanish church. And it was just this curiosity.
Yeah.
And so I think people started to come to be like, what is this?
Yeah. And, what's going on here?
Yeah. And little by little, God started to piece together a congregation. And you know, we thought our original intention was to go to the mission field in Guatemala or Central America. Yeah. And we said, we'll give it a year or so. And here we are 18 years later. So we started, 24 years later, we started in Garden Grove, California, in a Spanish-speaking church that we planted within an existing English-speaking church. And
okay.
Then planted a second one in Torrance.
Okay.
I became the lead pastor there for Spanish and English. And my heart really is about culture and about connection and the body of Christ reflecting the diversity of who God is and reflecting the diversity of the community and the country in which we are, so that the gospel has an opportunity to reach people in whatever language they speak.
So when I first heard about you, Darren, I don't remember where it was from exactly, but I remember hearing about this pastor who would preach in English and then preach the same sermon again in Spanish. And you were doing this, and maybe even a third service. I don't remember. Maybe it became very apocryphal. All these, you know, these, the
yeah,
story grew
in my
grew,
head.
Exactly.
Right.
But I thought, wow, that's a really unique, the model they were expressing was really unique. And I still think the model that you had at your church is really unique compared to the ways that some churches do it. And that is not a slight on the way that other people engage in Spanish speaking churches. But I love to always find these unique models and unique ways of engaging. And so one of the reasons I wanted to have you on the podcast was to hear about this. So can you tell us, when you were in church, what did a service, a Sunday morning, look like for your church?
Yeah, so we'd show up. Our Spanish service was at 9 a.m. During that time, so we had our Spanish worship, full-on worship team, worship service, preaching in Spanish. At that time, the English-speaking congregation had their Sunday school. Kids would come, they'd have Sunday school, youth would come, they would meet at that time. And the thing that we really wanted to emphasize was the connection of the second generation kids. So whether they're from English-speaking families or Spanish-speaking families, they were together.
So tell me, why is that important?
Well, we started to notice that there was a major drop, and a lot of English-speaking families noticed this around college age, right after high school, there's kind of a drop off. We started seeing that as well in the Spanish-speaking community, but the reason was a lot of it was linguistic, that kids that were growing up in the U.S. had some Spanish background, but didn't identify their heart language.
Absolutely.
Wasn't Spanish, right? And so by the time they grew up, the only church context that many of them knew were their parents' monolingual Spanish-speaking church. And so they didn't really feel like they identified with that. So we've thought, man, if we could create a context in which some of these youth, these kids could grow up in a place where they could do both and on the same day, or choose one, and, you know, grandma could come and she'd come to the Spanish, and the parents might either, one husband sometimes would go to the English, and it was just this sense of like very fluid. And we felt like that reflected the community and the reality of how people lived their lives.
Yeah.
And we wanted the church to reflect back to the community that they were welcome, and that they didn't have to be segmented or pigeonholed into one based on their race or ethnic identity.
And I think that's we hear so often about, you know, first generation, second generation, and a lot of Spanish speaking churches do lose that second generation that wants to engage, or they start going to a different church because they do want to go to a place where maybe they can speak English or is bilingual. And so I love that you did that together. So at 9 o'clock was your Spanish service, and the English speakers did Sunday school. And so then right after that was the English service?
Well, right after that was what we actually viewed not just as like a passing period between classes, but like an actual important time of connection.
Okay.
We're in Southern California, so we could do this almost all year round. We had a beautiful patio that was kind of like open air. And I mean, people brought food. They brought, pan y frijoles and crema and queso and coffee. And we hung out and we talked. And that interaction time was a real important time.
So for a significant period of time, too.
Yeah, that was probably a good 30 to 45 minutes of just kind of connection as we, you know, kind of reset. Some of the worship team would go in and reset and different things. But yeah, the congregation was there. And we knew like that was an important time of connection.
And then after that, you would have an
English
service.
So after that, Spanish speakers would do their kind of like Sunday school training classes. English speakers would have their worship service during that time. And again, people could go. We had people from the English speaking congregation come to the Spanish to learn Spanish. Yeah. We had vice versa. We had people go to both. And quarterly, we would do unity services where it would be bilingual. That's when we celebrated our baptisms. Yeah. We felt that baptism was a win for the entire congregation, and we wanted to do that and celebrate that together. But we had one budget, we had one board of elders, we had one board of trustees, one youth ministry, one kids ministry.
Wow.
We just happened to have two language services to meet the needs of the community, but we really tried to emphasize, look, we're one church.
And you preached both of those services?
Yes.
Did you do the same content for both services?
You know, initially I tried to, and there were times, there were seasons where we would have like an associate on either side that was helping, you know. For the most part, I tried to do the same sermon, but I realized over time that that maybe it was the same text, but the approach would be different.
Sure.
And the application would be different. And so it wasn't like a verbatim. I never manuscript.
Yeah.
So I know a general idea of where I'm going. I might have some PowerPoint slides, the guide, or here are the verses. But really, it was able to engage where the felt needs were within each congregation.
But then I love that then a family goes home, and whether the person's gone to English or Spanish, they've encountered the same scripture, that the conversations and the car ride home or the walk home you know, could be around something where that could be unified, even if they were doing it in separate languages.
Yeah, and the concept of information and inspiration has been helpful for me to understand kind of like each culture has a different felt need.
Yeah.
So in the Spanish context, I mean, they both need both, right? But in the Spanish context, often like they feel like they haven't heard a good sermon if there's not kind of some inspiration in there, right?
Yeah.
And so, and in the English congregation, if I try to go in and just kind of pump, they'd be like, is this like a pep rally? What is this, right? Like, give me something to, you know, to chew on. And so found that I would say, again, in both, we try to have both, but I would lean more on the inspirational side in the Spanish and the encouragement and more of a heart connection, emotive connection. And on the English side, it might be a little bit more deeper dive into the doctrine or the original language or whatever it would be. But again, that could switch, and that's a generalization.
No, that's so great, though. I think that's a really unique way of doing it, to have unity amongst it, that there isn't one of the language groups that is relegated to a different time of the day. I mean, again, that works. And sometimes when you just need a building, that's a value. But being able to be there present with one another, there's an engagement that I think is really great, and an overlap in our schedules. So often we can be so segregated that our schedules don't even cross. And so to be able to be connected to one another in the same morning, I think is a really powerful powerful testimony of the kingdom of God and what that's to look like.
Yeah, we thought so. Looking around our community, we saw lots of examples of ethnic congregations meeting at 5, 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
And again, that's wonderful for churches to use their space
yep.
and to make that available. But we really believed that not just for the second generation, but also for the sake of mission, that when we serve together in our community, we had ministries that would go out on Saturdays to the day laborers that would meet at Home Depot.
Yeah.
We like pack lunches, make coffee and go and just hang out and talk with people, hear their stories. And we would go English and Spanish speakers. Now, what's cool about that is like the English speakers were kind of like in the one down position because they often didn't have, you know, the skill there.
Yeah.
But then we would go to a local nursing home every week and just kind of hang out with people. And again, our team was made up of people from both language congregations and we'd be there together in the community connecting. And it was just a beautiful thing to see both trying to cross bridges of culture and language for the sake of the gospel.
You mentioned being out on the patio. I assume that even if Casper had a patio, it would not be used very often. With a very different setting there. Yeah. But with a patio, you also talked about food. And as we're at this conference, they have food all the time here. That's one of the jokes that they make is they eat 6 times a day, and they're not wrong in that. But food matters in cross-cultural settings. So was that intentional to make sure that there was a moment for eating together and communion and community in that kind of a setting?
Yeah, I'm laughing a little bit because intentional sounds a little bit like it was designed in a boardroom like we ought to do this. The reality is food just showed up.
Oh, I love
that. And so because
it's who we are.
And it became intentional over time that like, or we would speak about it. This is why we do. This is why it's important to come to the patio time and to hang out. But food, regardless, it's kind of like you couldn't stop it from coming,
right?
Because people just felt like this is hospitality. Church is like family.
Yeah.
And for people that have come from other countries and didn't have extended family, they really saw church in that light. And so it became a natural thing. And we did. And there was some organization. We kind of had to organize who was going to bring the donuts and who was going to make the coffee, like anywhere, right? But we saw that it wasn't periphery, that it really was a key part of what it meant to be family.
Yeah.
And that food is a part of family.
Yeah, I love that. Well, one of the questions we ask on this podcast as often as we can is, what good do you see God doing in your world? So especially coming out of that experience, what good do you see God doing today or that you learned during that experience that you continue to carry with you today?
Yeah, thanks for that question. In our world, in our country, we don't have to look far to see the impact of polarization.
Yeah.
It's in our politics, it's in our conversation, it's in our social media feeds.
Yeah.
I deeply believe this. I think I would say I used to believe it more just from a theological perspective, but I've seen and I deeply believe that the kingdom of God, the rule and reign of Christ, the presence of God, the family of God, the church of God, the people of God, the movement, the mission of God, I believe these things can and must transcend the lower, smaller conversation. And there's an invitation to be involved. And Jesus gave us two core commands, to love God and love others. Yep. Those two, I believe, can, should, must transcend the smallness of the conversation that's in our society today. Yeah. And I think that the vision of the kingdom of God and what Jesus came to bring, because in his time, there were all these different sects and breakoff groups that were responding to the Roman rule and occupation. You had the Pharisees, you had the Sadducees, you had the Zealots, you had the Essenes who separated themselves. You had the Herodians who joined in with Herod and said, maybe, and Jesus is like, man, no, I'm talking about something that transcends all of this.
Yeah.
It's the rule and reign of God. It starts in our hearts. It's connected with each other. It connects across borders and boundaries, and we become the people of God. Mm-hmm. And we've seen it. We've lived it. I live that now as a missions pastor locally. We see it globally. And to me, that's what brings hope. And that's why I love bringing people with me to come on Go teams and experience the body of Christ in other cultures where they hear news stories about them. Yeah. But when you actually meet people, it changes your entire perspective.
I love that. And I think sometimes we live in a world where we believe that those things can't happen, that, well, on this side of heaven, we're not going to be able to transcend those things. But I'm not trying to paint with a broad brush to say that everything that happened at your church was wonderful. I am confident there were messes and challenges because people are people.
It was messy.
But you've seen where we can cross boundaries that we may not think are possible. We can bring people that can't even speak the same languages together to worship God. And so there is, in the midst of that polarization, there is hope for us to see, you know, people transcend that even today.
Well, the miracle of Pentecost, the birth of the church, happened in a multicultural context with the Holy Spirit giving a supernatural ability to transcend culture through language. And the church became this multicultural, multi-ethnic body, multilingual body ever since.
Yeah.
So that's our heritage. Yep. That's our birthright. That's who we are. Now, I'm not saying the issues aren't important. I'm not saying people shouldn't get involved in the local issues and the national issues. Of course, let's get involved. But please let us rise above it. Let's step above that and let's see the bigger picture, because God is at work and he's doing something. He invites us into it. And I think if we get stuck in the small story, which is fear-based, it's division, it's polarizing here, we miss the greater good.
Yeah.
We miss what God is up to, and he invites us to be a part of that.
Love that. Thank you so much, Pastor Darren. I appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us on the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to A World of Good. A World of Good is a podcast production of Global Strategy and Church of God Ministries. Our theme song is Colorado by Leo Flores. If you want to join the conversation, visit us at Twitter, at A World of Good Pod, on Instagram, A World of Good Podcast, or visit our website, chogglobal.org/A World of Good. And join us next time as we share more stories of good from around the world.